Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talked to Nate Scott about the beautiful game.
Wait, I think I got it. Just one more. Yahtzee!
It's an insult to soccer fans everywhere.
We have Nate Scott here with us.
We do.
Because it's Nate Scott week.
That's right.
My favorite week.
You keep him here in the basement. You know, Patrick and I leave. We go off to work. We do other things. We come back. Nate's still here in the basement.
They've been a little different in my basement than yours because you have to hang people from a hammock.
They've been feeding me regularly. I will say that.
We push food down a little hole in my house.
But since we have Nate here for Rock in the Suburbs, starring Jim Lenihan
and Patrick Foster,
we thought we would talk a little bit about his day job, which is working for Fox Sports, writing for foxsports.com.
Yep.
Right? And one of the sports that you cover is soccer.
My first love.
Really?
Oh, yeah. First word was goal.
Really?
My dad had me on his knee for the 1986 World Cup, and that was my first word.
That's goal. Incredible.
Yeah.
And this was in Massachusetts?
This was in Connecticut, actually. Oh. I hit every New England
Same
state.
Difference.
Yeah. My parents are in Maine now, so we just bounce around New England. Nice.
Okay.
And you played in college?
Played through high school, played at Tulane in New Orleans.
Wow.
That's really
our
cool.
Our team was, there was no team after Katrina for a little while, and then we reformed as a club team. So
right. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, D1 soccer, that's pretty good. Right. I have a daughter who plays and will be playing in college next year.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. So I'm between two soccer fans here.
Yes.
And Patrick, you just took me to my first ever MLS game.
Wasn't that fun?
It was great
fun. Yeah, we took the wives. It was a Rockin' the Suburbs night out.
It was great fun.
Yeah, we bought Tecates and drank in the parking lot of RFK Stadium and looked at the paint peeling off the old, old stadium.
I wish I had known. I was in the press box for that one, actually.
Oh, you were not. Wow.
I was. Man. You guys didn't see RFK Raccoon, did you? The raccoon who lives inside RFK Stadium.
We did not. Ronnie? We talked about it.
You mean there's only one?
Yeah.
It has a name.
Ronnie.
I sponsored a litter of kittens at RFK one year with my season ticket, yeah.
I'm glad I got to go see a match there because
it's got a lot of care.
They're going to move into a new
Audi Field, yes.
Next
very exciting.
Season, right?
Mm-hmm. And maybe Nate's taxpayer dollars are going toward that.
That is correct. I was at the groundbreaking.
Good. DC resident.
So I will say that I'm glad I got to go see the match there just to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say I'm happy they're getting a new stadium.
Yes,
it's not very... they've been playing in RFK for a long time, right?
And yeah, since the beginning. Yeah.
It's not a. Mm-hmm. It's not suited for
it
the game.
It is not. No. Right? The only thing the only personal anecdote I'll tell about DC United is that one of the most famous players on DC United is John Harkes, right? He's kind of in the DC United Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, Ian, is now a starter for the team as a rookie. And my daughter played with the younger Harkes sisters at O'Connell High School. So it was kind of cool to know John and know Ian a little bit when he's growing up and now see him play for DC United, which is my hometown club.
And maybe they'll score a goal this season.
I hope so. We're 0-3 so far.
Yeah, that was the
best. Ever happened in the history of soccer?
That was
goal
the downer.
Difference is 188. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the downer, of course, that DC United lost. Right
yes,
there. But
for the third consecutive.
It was kind of a...
They had a draw.
I did get to witness kind of a historic event.
Yes.
Which was that 2-0, right? It was, I believe, the highest scoring soccer game ever of all time.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Boo.
All right.
Jim's here all week.
All right. All right. So how does this relate to music?
Well, that's where we're going to go with it. Yeah. So I don't know. Nate, what do you think? Is there... let me ask you this, I guess. Let's take it in a different direction. When you warmed up at Tulane, did you guys do the things that Premier League players do now where they walk out with their beats and kind of have their own personal warm-up song? Or did you have music that you played?
That was much more in high school. In Tulane, because by the time we were sort of reformed, it was club team,
okay.
which meant We were stumbling straight from the, you know,
right.
This was, we would drink after the game with the other team and sometimes before the game with the other team.
Yeah.
But in high school, but I was always overruled in my music. So it was Eminem Lose Yourself was like the real,
was the big jam,
the real
for the
song.
Whole team.
And oddly, Naughty by Nature.
Really?
That was the other one.
Hmm.
Feel Me Flow. That was our warm up song.
That's great,
right,
though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that song. It's a good song.
I can't say that I do off the top of my head.
I don't think so either.
Right.
That was unexpected.
Yeah, totally. But I think what we should say, Jim, is that. You know, essentially, soccer plays a big part in English football, especially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the chants, right? So
yep.
they'll often adapt pop songs and sort of change the lyrics or, you know, take the sentiment, right? In the case of Liverpool, you'll never walk alone.
Yep.
They sing before every match.
Tiny Bubbles.
Yeah, Tiny Bubbles at West Ham, right?
So, which is the strangest.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Tiny Bubbles?
And some of the stories about
Hull
how.
Yeah.
Tiny bubbles and wine make me happy, make me feel fine.
Some of the stories about how, you know, when West Ham scores a goal, bubbles just start,
yeah, they start
piling
blowing
up
bubbles
in the stadium. And some of the origin stories are quite fascinating. But, you know, English soccer goes back to the...
Well, at Baltimore Orioles games, they play Thank God I'm
right.
a Country
so
Boy.
There you so, go. That's
you
a
know.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great analogy.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. It just right. springs up. But yeah, no, I think soccer and music is sort of tangential, you know, tied in some ways. And
well, I think one of the things you notice going to a match for the first time, as I did, although it wasn't my first soccer match, it was the first MLS.
Mm-hmm.
I had
right.
actually been to a Bundesliga game a few years ago. But one of the things you
Borussia
notice...
Dortmund, which is great.
Dortmund,
you saw the yellow wall.
Wow,
Dortmund.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
I know.
One of the things you notice is that... It was also 2-0, by the way. One of the things you notice is that there are people playing music in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
That's not a very American
no,
sort
drums
of thing,
right?
Right,
sort of
it's really cool.
And shouting. Yep, very cool. Yep.
They're not even like a marching band or something
right.
like that. No, it's like fans and stuff, right?
That's right. But, you know, we should take a short break. But while we do,
okay,
let's play a song. And you may remember this, Jim, from the old show way back.
Mm-hmm.
The very first interview I think we ever had, right, was Dave Wakeling in the English Beat.
Yes.
And you asked him a great question. How did you get into ska music as a white kid in England?
Right.
And he said, on the terraces of football matches, right? Yeah.
Right.
And he talked about a bunch of different songs, but one of the ones he talked about was The Liquidator by Harry J. Allstars, which is a song that's been claimed by, gosh, I don't know, Nate, Wolverhampton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea.
Chelsea's the big...
Was the apparently the first one.
Well, yeah. They just claim it because they're Chelsea.
Right.
And they can do that sort of thing, yeah.
And Aston Villa, which was the fan that... Dave Wakeling was a fan of Aston Villa because he grew up in that part of the UK. So why don't we hear that? We'll take a break and then we'll come back and Nate's going to play probably one for us relating to soccer. Our wolves, right? It's like that, right? We are Chelsea, something like that. I don't know how they do it. Jim, I'm excited because I recently built something in my workshop and it came out really good.
Is it a spice rack?
It is not a spice rack. That's my next project.
Okay.
But I built a website in there, and it's called suburbspod.com. It's our website.
It is our website. I see our names right there.
Yep. Got a picture of the boombox and our names and pictures. And
there's pictures of us recording the show.
A nav bar and things you can click on. And so basically, you can get some recaps of the episodes, right?
Does the nav bar serve drinks?
It does. Oh. But only if you click on one of the tabs here in the nav bar. So it's customized with our colors, which are black and orange.
Yeah.
And we've got recaps of the shows there where we write down the music we play. Sometimes that's related right. ephemera.
That's right.
And I think one day in the near future, we might be posting other things like maybe some thoughts,
yep.
some reviews.
I have lots of thoughts.
Yes.
I am ready to put them to paper. And then I think I just like scanned it in. And
there's
it
a thing here on the side of your computer. Yeah. You put the paper in there.
Okay.
And it'll appear on the internet.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. This is great. So I would recommend that all of our listeners visit suburbspod.com.
Do it now.
We're back in the basement. Yes, we are. It's Wednesday.
Is it all right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You slept for like a whole day. You haven't been well.
I know.
Yeah.
I haven't.
You literally slept for like 18 hours.
Yeah.
You slept through a whole episode of Gilmore Girls when we turned it up really loud.
You guys are doing a binge.
We're trying to wake you up, basically.
Okay, so where are we now?
We're talking about soccer.
Oh, soccer. Yes.
So that was the Liquidator, the Harry J. All-Stars. Yeah, right. And
how does that, and the deal with that song is they play it in the certain teams have adopted it as their song and played in the stadium.
That's right. Yeah. And so essentially, I guess, right, Nate, the teams will, you know, line up, shake hands, they'll go out, and then that song will be the, you know, the first 2 minutes before the kickoff and the fans will get into some sort of a chant. But they use different songs at many different places.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the history behind these is so great because a lot of them were, their roots are in DJs inside the stadium trying to calm fans down.
Yes,
and so, which
exactly
is why
right.
so many of these insane soccer teams have these kind of very demure tracks as kind of their team's track, because it was actually the DJs trying to chill everyone out. And they thought, you know, if they played sort of like a chill reggae or ska song, maybe everyone would stop, you know, punching each other in the face for
on
a minute.
On the terraces, yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And so now they've been sort of appropriated and been made into these anthems that still go on today. And I don't know, not like these kids have any idea what they're singing what these original songs even were, but they love singing
them. It's been handed down, yeah. And interestingly enough, too, you know, English soccer is a fascinating thing, and I've read a few books about it. I don't know that much about it, but it changed quite a bit after the Second World War, right? And then many of these teams sort of became a little more modern, and especially because of the fact that in England, you know, the British invasion happened. So there was a lot of homegrown pop songs where there weren't before. And, you know, mainly I'm talking about Lennon and McCartney. They wrote very catchable melodies that everybody sort of fell in love with. And I think from there was when sort of the eccentricity and the, you know, uniqueness began to happen. Like everybody in the UK embraced the Beatles, but then these, you know, these subgenres started happening, right? With You'll Never Walk Alone at Liverpool, for example. And, you know,
and I think the important thing to remember, at least with English soccer, is, you know, this is a landmass the size of New Jersey, basically,
right.
and these teams really sprung out of towns or you know pubs, communities, and so
literally two blocks
exactly, you know, and I mean, you don't really realize it till you're over there in London. Like I went and saw a Fulham game, and you can Stamford Bridge, the Chelsea Stadium, you can practically, you can hit with a Nerf football.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a few blocks, you know, mile down the road.
Oh, yeah.
And so these teams are really packed tight. There's all this history, but these traditions have sprung out of just, you know, it'd be like if your local town and you're, you know, just had a team and you went and supported them, and then you know, 30 years later, 60,000 people are showing up at these games, right. And it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
So.
Or one hardcore supporter suddenly liked a song, and that, for whatever reason, became the team song.
You know, the old guy on the who ran the DJ booth decided he dug that song on the radio that week, and now, you know, 60
played
years
every
later,
day.
That's what it is. So.
Exactly. So, do you have a song that springs to mind, Nate, from you? Either if is it Naughty by Nature or is it, you know, an English tune?
No, I'm going to... So, I grew up a soccer fan, loved soccer. I was in a DC record store recently and saw a record by a band called Soccer Team. Nice. And I just said, okay, come on. You know, I have to... I'll spend the $22 or whatever it was. And I bought the record.
Beautiful.
And... sort of sight unseen, one of those just kind of go with your gut, kind of put the thing on and
it's like the old days
and was just knocked on my, I really loved it. There's one track called Too Many Lens Flares, which I've always secretly hoped is a knock on J.J. Abrams, but I don't actually know if that's what the song is. But it's a great track, and it's just a really cool local band that sort of plays sporadically. They put out a couple records. They kind of, apparently they all have other jobs and lives, and they come together and play together every once in a while, and then we'll go away. But they name themselves
associated
Soccer Team.
With like the Discord scene, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But they name themselves Soccer Team. So
yeah, I love that.
I here on the soccer episode, I feel like we have to.
It's perfect. All right, why don't we hear that, Jim, as we go out?
That sounds good. All so right. I guess that was my cue to take us out. All right,
if you're ready.
Sure. So,
but maybe you should tell your soccer story about going to see.
Oh, what's my story?
In Europe, you went to see Borussia Dortmund.
Yes,
which has an amazing, famous wall.
I've
of
never
supporters,
been.
Right? So you know this name, like you know soccer people. Like sometimes Borussia Dortmund is like that's my dream trip.
That would be for me right now, especially with the young American player they have, Christian Pulisic. That's number one for me. If I could see any team in the world right now in person,
wow.
That
see,
would
this
be
is
team.
Funny because this was about
Jim was there.
What did we figure 6 years ago,
something like that. Yep.
And yeah, that sounds about right. And 5-6 years ago, something like that.
Maybe Jurgen Klopp was still the manager of Dortmund at that time.
We were there on a family vacation. My in-laws at the time were living in Germany. So we took the opportunity to go and stay with them and spend some time in Germany and other countries in that area of Europe. And the whole Dortmund thing was just a pure, like, spur-of-the-moment decision. So what happened was, I think maybe as you can tell, I did not grow up a soccer fan. and so I kid a little bit, but I'm open to it. I'm a big fan of like, you know, trying new things or new experiences, things like that. And so when we were staying there, they lived in a suburb of Dortmund called Wickede.
Okay.
And we went, and so I just asked like, hey, I wonder if the team is in town while we're here this week. And they were, they had a home match. And so I had a rental car. I drove out. This was like the day before the match. I just drove out to the stadium, went up to the ticket office, and just said, do you happen to have any tickets? I mean, I know this is like a hugely popular team, right? Like, I'm thinking in American terms, it's got to be all sold out. They were like, oh, no, we still have some tickets left.
Nice.
And so I bought three tickets for me and the two kids, and then we came back the next day, and the three of us just, you know, watched the match, and it was great. I remember sitting next to this guy who... You know, obviously, you know, it's soccer in Germany. Everybody's just like a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And sitting next to this guy, this older guy who was next to me. And at one point, because he just assumes like everybody around him is just a huge fan of the team, right? And he's like kind of nudges me and he starts speaking to me in German. Something about the team, I just imagine, something like that. And I was just like, you know, I used my little bit of German that I knew basically to say, like, I don't speak German. And then he just gave me like a smile. And there may have been a hug involved. No, I don't think there was. These are Germans. They don't hug.
Yeah.
But he gave me a nice smile. So that was good. So
it's beautiful.
I think I said, like, I don't speak German very well. I'm an American. Said this all in German. And he was just happy, I think, that I was there.
That's very cool.
Checking out the game. So it was a lot of fun,
They play any Kraftwerk at
the stadium. No, I don't remember that. But I will say it's a very big stadium. It's like 70,000 or something like
that. The Yellow Wall of Dortmund. Yeah. So they have a whole wall that's standing. You know, it's basically a terrace where people just sort of stand and go, you know, it's awe-inspiring.
It was really fun. We had a great time.
Right. And the next Arsenal manager is their manager now, but that's a different story. So why don't we go out with a little soccer team?
All right, but before we do that, we should remind the listeners that, one, this is Nate Scott Week.
That's right.
So Nate's with us all week.
Nate Week.
Not always talking about soccer, mostly about music, because he's a big music guy.
Right.
The show is called Rock in the Suburbs. You're listening to it now. It's on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn. We also have a really cool website, suburbspod.com. Check that out. All the old shows, notes, and whatnot. We also have an email address.
We do.
We do. Yes.
I use
As if
the
that's
email.
A new thing.
Yeah.
rock@suburbspod.com. Send us notes about what you think about soccer and or music. Or you can find us on social media, Twitter or Facebook, @suburbspod. Or you can call us. That's what we really want you to do, because then we get your voice on tape and we put it on an upcoming show. That's the Suburban Party Line. It is 612-440-1984.
And those of you who've heard us for like 60 episodes now and not called in, be ashamed of yourselves.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Who are you people?
Guys, I just showed up in their basement and they started letting me record, so it's not that hard.
All right, so I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Nate Scott.
And this is Too Many Lens Flares.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, earlier, if you had given me a moment to think
Sorry
about it,
about that.
I could have actually pulled out the German, but it was too on the spot. I couldn't remember it. But so it went something like this.
Are we recording? Good.
Ich bin ein Amerikaner. Ich spreche nur ein bisschen Deutsch.
Which means, do you have any can reference?